Well, welcome to today's Town Health Officer Training titled Residential Radon in Vermont. My name is Amanda LaScala, and I'm a public health specialist here at the Health Department. And as a certified radon measurement specialist, one of my roles is providing programmatic direction for the radon program. Next slide. So what is radon? Simply put, radon is a radioactive gas that is produced by the breakdown of uranium in rocks. This gas can be detected or measured in the air and in water. Radon is colorless, odorless, and tasteless. Radon is a Class A carcinogen, meaning it causes cancer in humans. And radon should not be confused with carbon monoxide. With radon, it's the prolonged exposure that results in the second leading cause of lung cancer. Next slide. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, radon is estimated to cause about 21,000 lung cancer deaths each year. The chart on this slide is indicating that deaths caused by radon each year are greater than drunk driving, falls in the home, drownings, and home fires, respectively. Next slide. In 2005, the U.S. Surgeon General issued a health advisory about radon. It states, quote, indoor radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer in the United States, and breathing it over prolonged periods can present a significant health risk to families all over the country. It's important to know that this threat is completely preventable. Radon can be detected with a simple test and fixed through well-established venting techniques, end quote. The Surgeon General's advisory is one of the Health Department's focuses during this month because January is National Radon Action Month. We have placed the advertisement you see in the slide in several newspapers. Be sure to look for it in your local paper. Next slide. So how does radon enter a home? As I stated previously, radon is not regulated in homes. So residential radon exposure is a concern of the health departments and other local and federal health agencies. Radon enters the home via many points of entry, cracks in floors and walls, and joints between the floor and the wall, as well as gaps around service pipes, just to name a few. Next slide. Homes act like vacuums sitting on top of soil, meaning they draw in gas from the soil. You cannot solely predict which home will have elevated radon levels based on the style, age, or even location. The only way to know is to perform a radon test. Based on Health Department data, it is estimated that one in every seven homes in Vermont has elevated radon levels. However, only 10% of Vermont homes have been tested. Therefore, it's a goal of ours during National Radon Action Month to encourage people to test their home. Next slide. Again, the only way to know if radon is in your home is to test for it. This picture on the slide shows what a long-term test kit looks like. It's about the same size as a tuna can. Next slide. A long-term radon test kit is offered to Vermont residents free from the health department. The test kit should be deployed between 91 days to a year, and ideally it should include most of the heating season. Long-term tests are used when someone wants to evaluate their radon exposure over a period of time. To request a free long-term test kit, you can email radon@vdh.state.vt.us and put, quote, radon test kit, end quote, in the subject line and include your mailing and physical address. Another option is to just call the health department at 800-439-8550. Next slide. A second type of radon test is a short-term test. These tests are used to check or just get a snapshot of the radon level. True to their name, a short-term test is conducted between 2 to 7 days. This test is generally performed during a real estate transaction. Unlike the long-term tests, they're not free. They can be purchased for $25 apiece from the Health Department Laboratory by calling 800-660-9997. And for quality assurance purposes, it is recommended that two tests be performed side by side. Next slide. So now that you've got a kit, where do you place it? Generally speaking, the kit should be placed in the lowest occupied level of the home that is regularly used. So for example, if you're doing a long-term test kit and have a finished basement that your children's playroom is in, that would be an ideal location to test. The test kit should never be placed in an area of high humidity, such as kitchens, bathrooms, and laundry rooms, nor should they be placed in hallways because we don't spend a substantial amount of time in a hallway. Next slide. During short-term tests, EPA testing protocols indicate that closed building conditions should be maintained for 12 hours prior to kit deployment and during the duration of the test. Next slide. So who conducts a radon test? Well, the health department recommends that a homeowner or tenant can and should conduct a long-term test in their home. A qualified radon professional is also an appropriate choice regarding radon measurement. And you can contact the health department for a list of qualified contractors. Next slide. Radon test results are reported in picocuries per liter of air. The health department recommends that results of radon concentrations greater than 4.0 picocuries per liter warrant mitigation. Caution should be used when interpreting this number because 4.0 is not a protective number. In fact, this past September, the World Health Organization published an indoor radon handbook in which they offer a more conservative value than the Environmental Protection Agency and recommend mitigation at 2.7 picocuries per liter. The Health Department and EPA, however, do recommend considering a mitigation with a result of 2.0 and higher. Next slide. When should we test for radon? Well, the best time is now, if you've never tested, or if you're occupying a lower level of your home after major renovations, or if it's been a while since you've tested, generally speaking, every 4 to 5 years. Selling a home can be a stressful time for some buyers and sellers. Often a last-minute short-term radon test is completed in a hurry, and an elevated test result may add to that stress. Performing a long-term test ahead of time may help alleviate that stress. Next slide. If you would like to install a radon reduction system in your home, the Health Department is happy to share a list of nationally certified mitigators who can perform your mitigation. The list is posted on the Health Department website at www.healthvermont.gov. Next slide. Radon can also occur in well water. The radon gas is released into the air when water is used in the home, for example, showering, laundry, and dishwashing. There is not a drinking water standard adopted by the state or federal government. However, a proposed federal rule is that a result of 4,000 picocuries per liter in water translates to a contribution of 0.4 picocuries per liter to the indoor air. It's important to remember that soil gas remains the number one source of indoor radon, as identified by testing the air. The Health Department is always here to answer questions about water testing and reduction techniques. Next slide. What is the role of the town health officer with regards to radon? We believe that the town health officer serves as an information resource for the public. Next slide. You may be thinking, how can I help? During a complaint-based rental housing inspection, you could ask if a radon test has been performed. If it has not, or if the tenant doesn't know, you can recommend that they contact the health department at 800-439-8550 for a free long-term test kit. If testing has been performed, what was the result? If elevated levels were detected, is a mitigation system installed? If not, a recommendation to the landlord is appropriate because the health department and EPA recommend a reduction system be installed. As always, any correspondence with landlords and tenants should be documented thoroughly. Next slide. So in summary, chronic exposure to high concentrations of radon causes lung cancer, but radon testing is inexpensive and easy. And if high concentrations of radon are detected, a radon reduction system may be installed. Rental property owners are encouraged to install a reduction system if elevated concentrations of radon are detected. Next slide. For more information, you can contact the Vermont Department of Health at 800-439-8550 or www.healthvermont.gov or the Environmental Protection Agency at www.epa.gov. Next slide. That concludes our presentation for today. Thank you for listening, and we're going to have a few minutes for questions.
Is there any data, this is Glenn Pellegrino from Current, is there any information about whether, you know, blasting for foundations and things has increased radon? Do you know, there's studies as far as that goes, that should be an extra concern.
Can you please clarify the question? Are you asking if people have blasted through bedrock?
Yeah.
I think it entirely depends on the concentration of naturally occurring uranium in the bedrock. Although the assumption would be that if you're blasting in bedrock, that there's a possibility of radon. However, I don't know that there's been definitive studies to say that there is a definitive association between blasting and bedrock and increased likelihood of radon in your house.
Oh, okay.
However, you never know unless you test, And sure. So we would strongly encourage folks, if they have a concern, to test.
Right.
I mean, our recommendation as well is certainly for new construction to have the house constructed to be radon resistant. And it's a very inexpensive thing to do during building construction. It is somewhat more expensive to mitigate than it is to build a radon-resistant house. But overall, to build a mitigation system or to retrofit a house is not that expensive either, overall, depending.
You're just running like a little booster fan to circulate air primarily from like a basement area?
In essence, yes. I mean, you need to set up a ventilation piping system that allows the gas to go around the house, not into the house. And the average cost is between $800 and $1,500.
Right. So you're actually doing that outside, not inside? The mitigation?
Well, I mean, again, we encourage people to follow up with licensed mitigation experts to really get the appropriate advice as to what's needed in their particular home. So, I mean, the recommendation is that you follow up with someone who's licensed to do the work to advise you, because there could be some sealing that's done inside to seal up cracks and to seal up other locations where radon may enter the house.
I see. Yep. Okay.
Are there additional questions?
I have a question, and that is, if stone masonry, for example, a chimney flue that's exposed inside of the house that's constructed and faced with natural stone from the area, does this present an increased risk of radon?
So there are some studies. I'm going to jump in here. I'm sorry, this is Austin Sumner again.
It's okay.
There are some studies that have looked at granite countertops, and they have been, and in the lay press has been published, they do certainly can be a source for low-level radon production. So, I mean, I think the answer is that if the stone that is used contains the products that result in radon formation, that they can be a source. That does not mean that all stone is a source of radon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is true that rocks and building materials do contain uranium, so therefore making it possible that radon be released from the surface into the room. A normal ventilation system would usually dissipate any emanation, but like Austin said, there have been studies and are further studying this. But testing protocols should always be followed, so current guidelines about detector placement indicate not placing a detector on the material, such as a granite countertop, which, again, tends to be in a kitchen. We don't test in kitchens, but... But, yeah, it is possible.
Okay. The follow-up question to that, are there any particular areas in Vermont that are hot spots in terms of a high frequency of radon detection?
This is Lori Cragen, and I would say right now the percent of Vermonters that have tested their homes is pretty low. So to call an area a hot spot might be a bit of a stretch right now. We need more testing to know if there are hotspots. Now, that said, the Vermont Geological Survey has areas that they've mapped the bedrock underneath, and they've had readings from that, not from homes, but they can tell you where there are certain rocks that are formed. And so you can look on their maps on their website and see where those are and see, you know, if there are areas, but again, you have to test to know, and so right now I would say we haven't had enough testing to really conclusively answer that.
So we don't know for the entire state, because our sample size is small, which is why we encourage people to test. However, we have certainly found some very high levels in certain portions of the state, so we can't say on a representative basis across the state, but we can say in the Northeast Kingdom region, there have been some very high levels of radon that have been measured. Would you agree with that?
Yep, and there are pretty much some areas in every county that I would say have had really high levels.
High levels.
We've had levels over 100 picocuries per liter. So
in every county?
No, not in every county, but you know, that's one sample. But we've had peaks high levels in every county.
And this is clearly an area that we hope to be able to further answer. I mean, the more people to test, the better data we have to be able to say where the hotspots are. And this is clearly a goal of ours through time to really try and understand the distribution of radon in the state better. So encouraging people to test is something we really appreciate.
Okay, the health implications for individuals who do have a high radon count in their house, what would be symptoms that would relate to that?
So I would say radon exposure won't result in acute development of symptoms, meaning people won't develop shortness of breath or eye irritation or asthma exacerbation from exposure to radon gas. What will happen or what can happen is that over a lifetime of exposure, that someone does go on to develop some respiratory symptoms and are then subsequently diagnosed with lung cancer. In an individual case, you can never say what the definitive cause was. However, if you know that someone has had a high level of radon in their house for a long time, I mean, you can certainly suspect that that contributes. The EPA level of 4 picocuries per liter is associated with 7 in 1,000lung cancers in non-smokers. And now in smokers, I believe that at that 4 picocuries per liter, it's associated with 20. Isn't it 20?
62.
So in smokers, no, sorry. So in smokers, we don't have the exact number in front of us, I'm sorry. In smokers, though, the risk, if they smoke and are exposed to radon, the effect is multiplicative in many ways. So yeah, so what we have is in smokers that are exposed for a lifetime, at 4, 62 of them in every 1,000 will develop lung cancer. So,
and by long-term exposure, that's 50 to 70 years.
Right, that
they
use for a lifetime.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
I mean, it's a problem, and it's preventable. And of the environmental causes, it's one that people didn't create to poison each other. So I mean, it's reasonable to alert people to it. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I will say is a question that might come up is that if a town health officer was to be notified of, say, a level of 100 in a rental property, you might be approached by a tenant who says, you know, I've measured this, I know my level is 100, my landlord doesn't want to do anything about it, can you do something about it? At this time, the health department does not require mitigation for any level of radon. We tell people that they should mitigate, but there is no regulatory requirement that they do mitigate.
Right, there's no enforcement.
So what that means, though, is that if someone was to approach you guys and say, well, can you write a health order, although you could certainly speak with your select board about that, at this time, the health department doesn't endorse writing health orders in the absence of any regulatory framework requiring mitigation.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Is there any difference between the accuracy of the short-term test and the long-term test?
The long-term tests are felt to be more sensitive indicators of a problem, and that's because they have more days, right?
Yep.
Can you give me that look?
We would say that they're more representative of your year-round average because they're in your home for longer as opposed to one point in time and just putting them in your home for 2 to 7 days. So those 2 to 7 days, you know, you could have your windows open. That could change things as opposed to just someone acting normally and leaving it in their home for 3 months to a year. So it's more representative.
Thank you.
My name is Morris Roberts. I'm in Barnet, which is up in the Northeast Kingdom. One of the recommendations I would have in order to get more of these kits out would be to have them available through the town clerk or through the health officers. And with town meeting coming up in March, if we had a table or something set up, I'm sure that we would get a lot of them passed out at that time.
So Although it is very important, I think that's a great comment, and we'll certainly entertain better methodologies for distributing kits. The main thing is that they do actually cost us quite a lot of money, and so we do want to track them. We want to know who has them so that we can follow up with them to make sure, number one, that, you know, after 3 months people forget about it and they don't send it back. We want to make sure that we can follow up with people, particularly if they have elevated levels. We want to make sure that they have their questions answered and they know what's going on. And so what I would suggest, a possible strategy is that we can come up with some sort of coupon that people can mail into us so that you could distribute the coupons for a free testing, and that people would then mail the coupon to us and we would send them the kit directly.
And the kits also expire, so if we sent them out, they could expire before right. They actually get used. But we do have posters up in all the town offices. We've asked the town clerks to put the posters up. But I think the town meeting idea is a great idea, a great way to get kids out. Yeah, so we could send some posters. If you want to email us, we could send you some of the coupons to put out at town meeting.
The coupon is an excellent idea.
Good idea.
And so... Happy to do that. What we could do is we could send out, is everyone on the listserv? We'll send out a PDF version of it on the listserv so that everybody will have it.
Terrific.
Good.
And now, I mean, one thing that you could do for us is that you could look in your town halls and see if the posters is actually posted somewhere. And if it's not, you can let us know, or you can ask the town clerk to post it.
Can you give us a PDF of the poster as well?
Yes, we can. So we'll send.
Then, if we don't have it, we can just make it and put it up.
Excellent. So we will send that out on the listserv as well.
Terrific.
Yeah, that's a great.
How about public buildings? This is residential that we're talking about today, but what about public buildings? Since we're all involved with towns, being the school, the town office building, and so forth.
One of our initiatives during this winter heating season is we're going to be testing 8 schools around the state, and they may be in your area. We have tested in the last 4 years a total of 24 schools. This year we'll be testing Newark School, Linden Town School, Ferrisburg Central School, Waitsfield Elementary, Jamaica School, and 4 schools in the Addison Northeast, Supervisor Union, Lincoln, Moncton, New Haven, and Mount Abraham.
Great.
And if that's one of your towns and you have questions, you can certainly call us on the 800 number, 800-439-8550. And I'm happy to keep you posted about when we will be in the respective areas.
I think we have time for at least one more question, maybe, if there are any.
With older homes with dirt floors, is there a more likelihood of having radon?
So, are you asking, is there a greater likelihood of intrusion of radon into the house?
With dirt floors.
Yeah, you certainly have, I mean, what you have is you have a house under negative pressure, so it's going to pull soil vapor or soil gas into the house, and having a dirt floor... is more porous than having a poured cement floor.
Right.
So is it more at risk? I don't have specific data in front of me that says that. I think that it's a reasonable assumption to encourage anyone with a dirt floor to test their house.
And maybe the reason why a newer home might have less of a risk is because some builders are building radon resistant, and so they're putting in the technology, and then all you need are fans. Sometimes the fans could be put in. So, you know, I think making sure that a new home is built with radon-resistant technology is important.
And so we probably have time for one more question. If there is another more general but pressing question, happy to try and answer that as well.
I just want to mention something.
Please.
Your email address, is it accurate, radon@vdh? Should it be radon at VT?
No, it's VD, Vermont Department of Health. So it is VD as in Donald or Department.
All right, thank you.
No problem. And I believe that information is also in the manual, as well as it's posted on many locations on the Health Department website. So if you just went to the health department, if you forget and you just go to the health department website and you go to the A to Z table, you hit R, you'll find radon, and all the information will be there as well.
Thank you. Good.
Well, thank you for joining us today. That concludes our training.